You heard it right here, right now from the beat.
The new ivory is mammoth.
What do you guys want to know? I've done way too much research on dinosaurs.
Almost a larger than life figure.
No reason at all to think it was made by aliens.
Drop down and go swimming as fast as you can. Out of whale.
All these big giants, give me a kiss and tell me they don't.
The crowd, just the pop, the loudness, the excitement, the electricity.
I don't know if I can take your little Canadian destroyer.
The future is scary, but it's also wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast where genuine meets uncensored, powered by Jägermeister. We are skipping lunchtime in Montenegro. People are preparing for work in Salt Lake City. In Adelaide, the clock just struck midnight. And we are about to welcome our guest to this podcast for a second time. He stands tall in many amateur wrestling, mixed martial arts, and pro wrestling Hall of Fames. With career decorated by numerous championships, you could see him in UFC, WWE, NWA. He is the host of both Dan and Don's Toxic Masculinity podcast and Unleashed with Dan the Beast Severn and Eric Carroll. The man among men and the beast among robes, Dan Severn. Dan, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. And
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me out again.
Yeah, anytime. We promised. So thank you for coming back. And we know your origin story and everything so far. I believe a lot of our audience does. And what were you up to? I think it's almost exactly a year since we last saw you on this book.
Oh, geez. Okay, year. Well, a lot has happened in the past year. I sort of split my time between Arizona and Michigan. I'm in Michigan right now, usually for spring, summer, and fall. And then I spend my winter months out in Arizona so that I could typically wear shorts and t-shirts on a year-round basis. But today is an extremely cold day in Michigan, which is that normal? Not usually normal, but sometimes you've seen snow actually falling on Mother's Day, which is in a couple weeks from now. But I'm back in Michigan right now. I'm actually down in Coeur, Michigan. I'm in my training facility as I speak to you gentlemen, and just doing some things down here. And you might notice this mark on my forehead. And no, I did not participate in a professional match and end up getting bladed recently. No, that was I went one on one with Mother Nature yesterday. I was out in my orchard. I actually have a small orchard on my property, and I was out there pruning the various fruit trees. And this between doing all the lop and stuff like that, one of the branches came down, just basically just scratched me. I'm just glad it hit me in the forehead and didn't take out an eye. Okay, so otherwise I'd be looking like Captain Bly here with my patch up. Yeah,
you mess with the beast, you got chopped down.
So no, I took advantage of a nice day outside yesterday. Today is going to be kind of a rainy day, so it'll be a day that I'll spend a little bit more time indoors, and I'll be doing cleaning up and other things around in my training facility. But because I'm in preparation, hopefully by next weekend I will be conducting an amateur wrestling clinic, a professional wrestling clinic, and a mixed martial arts and submission grappling clinic all in the same day.
When you're up to that, obviously, when we talk about you, we have to talk about martial arts and professional wrestling. And I just want to ask you, entertainment-wise, have you watched the UFC 300? Have you, been up to date with the UFC recently?
Well, to a certain extent, like, for example, I watched a couple of the highlighted matches like of UFC 300. A lot of it just is because of what you said, that I live such a busy lifestyle. I always tell people that I'm not watching life pass me by. I'm actually participating in it. When I become a really old person and I have nothing better to do, then I will watch life. But in the meantime, while I'm still young enough and I can do things, and I say that like that because you two gentlemen are much younger than what I am. And, at 65 years of age, it's always shocking for me to think, gosh, I'm 65 now, and I have more people now that follow me on the social media outlets because they're shocked at my age and all the things I continue to do. As I said, like this past winter was kind of like a healing process for me because I had to take care of a couple issues that had been lingering for the last few years. Like, for example, I had a total right hip replacement. It has been bothering me for the last 4 years. When I finally had that taken care of, no one knows that now because I'm out there doing all the same things. I conducted a couple of seminars these last couple of weekends, and people were shocked when they heard me say that I was a little concerned about coming here because this was going to be my first seminar back after taking basically about 3 months off to have a hip replaced. And then you can kind of see the scars still a little bit on the hands, but I had both hands, what is known as carpal tunnel surgery, where your hands start to lock up, fingers are starting to lock up for that. And then they tingle all the time. And it's kind of like I had both. Normally you don't do both at the same time because you usually do one or the other because you have to take care of your personal issues. Like when you go to the bathroom, if you have both hands take a place, how are you supposed to assist yourself when you're trying to, basically wipe your butt? Okay. So I'll just be kind of blunt about that. So I just told the doc, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. I'll improvise, and rest assured, I simply just improvised, or I had a really good friend.
I won't go into detail about that. Keep your secrets.
You tend to start losing your modesty more and more as you get older, just because you're seeing more doctor's visits. Yeah. And the funny part is, in the United States, there's kind of a normal protocol. You're supposed to have a primary physician first. I never had a primary physician. I was, for what I was doing in professional wrestling, any state that I went to, I had to have an HIV test, a Hep C test. For cage fight, I had to have all the same things. So every 2 or 3 months, I think it was only good for maybe 90 days or something like that, I would have to get the next test. And the next test. So I was always going to get a blood test and get the basic physical to know that I'm healthy enough to go get beat up or I'm healthy enough to go do professional wrestling. And it's like I never had a primary physician. And so now in order to get the hip done and get these double carpal tunnels, I go, well, who's your primary physician? I go, I don't have one. So it was almost ridiculous because I had to go and see them to get a physical. And literally as they're doing a physical, I go, I'll go back. My blood pressure is probably here. My heartbeat's probably here. And they're like, wow, you know. They're like, how do you know so well? I go, because I haven't changed much in all this time. Other than a lot of people don't recognize me with the gray hair now and the gray mustache. But I always tell people, when they come up and they see me at like, what do they say, professional wrestling or mixed martial arts, autograph signing, they'll have all these different pictures that'll be laid out. And I go, and I point to every one of these pictures and go, and every one of these pictures, whether it be for professional wrestling or for mixed martial arts, that color is called Just From In number 45. I was coloring my hair. I was coloring my mustache. I was coloring my eyebrows because you got to think of the psychology. If you were to walk into a cage and you saw across from you a gray-haired, gray-mustached old man, would you be intimidated? No. But if it was dark and dastardly looking, but that's stuff that I learned in professional wrestling. So I utilize some things that I learned from professional wrestling, and I used it in mixed martial arts and vice versa. So.
But since you are speaking about injuries, body condition and everything, you spoke about your injuries and being hurt in both pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. So which do you think that hurt more your body, professional wrestling or UFC?
Oh, professional wrestling, without a doubt, professional wrestling. But it's only because, I'll say your injuries are going to happen more. Well, in my case, they were going to happen more in professional wrestling now. Again, when you watch a lot more of the more modern days of mixed martial arts, the athletes are so much more well-developed, well-rounded, you know, during the era of the Knowles Bard. I mean, I saw it from Knowles Bard where a lot of people were one-dimensional. Exactly. I was a one-dimensional athlete as well. They had categories of you could be a you'd be more of a grappler. And if they said grappler, that meant you were a judo, jiu-jitsu, amateur wrestler, you know, things of that nature. Or you could be a striker. If you were a striker, you could be a boxer, kickboxer, Muay Thai, karate, kabu. But then as with each progressive show, the show that took place, the athletes were starting to cross over to each other to where their today athlete, you could have somebody that came from a boxing background, but they could grapple with some of the best of the grapplers. And some of the grapplers, some of the wrestlers, jiu-jitsu people, they can now strike with some of the best of the strikers. So it's going full circle. But when you talk about 300, the UFC show 300, the grand finale match, the main event for the BMF belt, oh, you couldn't ask for a better. It was like having a strawberry sundae and somebody threw a cherry on top. Boom, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, the whole fight was crazy, but that final sequence was movie-like.
You've got one gentleman, he basically has won all five rounds, and yet he looks to Gaethje and actually points to Gaethje, points to the center of the ring to give him a chance in that final, 10, 15 seconds, where they're just throwing everything at each other, and then to get a knockout in the final couple of seconds. I don't think a professional match could have been laid out any better than what they laid it out.
Obviously, you mentioned now obviously that some of the today's even strikers can grapple with grapplers, and grapplers can obviously stand with the best of strikers. But do you think right now, watching some of the MMA currently, and the athletes are very well rounded and all of that, do you think that there's that maybe amateur wrestling is still kind of maybe the best base? And is there maybe you can answer this. Is there a problem for some guys who are wrestling to adapt it to MMA? Because amateur wrestling and wrestling in, obviously, the octagon is not the same. Do you think that there's that kind of problem for some guys? Because I think we saw, for example, Henry Cejudo, who is an Olympic gold medalist, but he was handled by Merab Dvalishvili, who doesn't have that kind of credentials, but it seems that his wrestling in the octagon worked better.
I'm going to come across basically probably being sorry about that. I thought I had turned my volume down. I'm turning it right down right now. It's going to come across probably a little bit more biased for my opinion because I come from the amateur background. I know what the mental aspects of an athlete. There's mental, and then there's the athletic aspects of the sport. Wrestling is a very mental game. I mean, it's mano-a-mano in first place, just like you have in the Ultimate Fighting Championships, MMA. And wrestling is a test of wills where they tend to grind on each other. It's referred to as a grind because you're just, there's no letting up. There's pressure at all times. Now, but if you fast forward to today, and there's been several posts that have been recently put up, simply just showing where were these current UFC champions, what sport background did they come from to begin with, knowing that, yes, they had to add a few more things to the arsenal. But you'll see that there are more champions and more placers from the sport of wrestling, amateur wrestling, than any other sport. And that's That's not Dan Severn saying it. That's just pure fact. Well, when you look at the Ultimate Fighting Championships, you look at the current champions and where did they come from? What was their origin that they came from? Yes, they had to learn something about striking. Yes, they had to learn something about submissions, but you would be surprised. Some of the submissions are simply just amateuristic moves that they turn illegal versus legal. But even some of the legal moves, I mean, what way be if you've never felt a good old-fashioned chicken wing, if you never felt a good old-fashioned cross face or a power half, those all, they all hurt. They're legal techniques, but they don't feel good in the process. So you are breaking your opponent's will. So it's that mental game, and it's definitely a very physical game on top of all. It's a mental physical chess match is what it is.
Once I actually spoke to someone who trained, you know, wrestling, and he said to me something that I found very interesting. The thing about wrestling that is different to other martial arts for me is that there is no defense. We are always on attack. Would you agree with that statement?
No, I agree. It's because if you start backing up and try to avoid the action, the referee will be there cautioning you because it's all about you've got to make contact. It's even there's strategic things to even do inside of a wrestling match to where I always knew that I would keep the center of the mat to my back, knowing that my opponent is out of perimeters, so it's already looking bad for him in the first place. I will, once the referee blows whistle, I simply advance across quickly, making contact, and as they start moving backwards, already in their eyes, in the referee's eyes of that, the opponent is starting to back away from the action, he's starting to look to play the edge, and in college wrestling, just like in freestyle, at Greco, you can start some action in the inside the boundary, and you can carry it outside of the boundaries to where you could still score points as long as the action was started inside the circle. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, but I've seen some people actually they started and they were so aggressive they went from inside the circle to the out of bounds to that where they ended up in the first couple seats of the bleachers. They went a little too far.
Definitely, yeah. But I want to get back to UFC 300 for a second because Mark Coleman was the one who presented
the belt. Yes.
Yeah, and he had a very tough life situation recently, and you reached out to Lori on your social channel. Shout out to Lori, to everyone, to just give alert about what happened to Mark Coleman and everything, and knowing that you and Mark are friends, have you maybe spoken with him since then? And
the fact again, what you're alluding to is recently there was a fire situation took place right next door in his parents' home, and Mark, without even thinking, I mean, he just rushed right in because it's his parents. He's trying to, and he, you know, I mean, he did think, he simply just reacted and went in. And
his dog as well. You know, dog as well.
Yes. Well, yeah, he did find both parents and he carried them out to safety. And then he went in looking for his dog, but he could not find the dog. And he ended up losing, the dog was actually lost in the fire. But I mean, to me, it's like going, that is the mentality of a wrestler. But then also, I mean, it was a very heroic thing that Mark did as well. He didn't think about his own life in that. And as it was, he took it so much smoke inhalation that he basically, you know, he went into like a coma for, I think, a couple of days before he came back out. And, you know, and I'll say that all is well now. But you always wonder, what did this smoke actually do to you in the process? I mean, he risked his life to rescue his parents, and then they came out. But at what cost to him now did that, you know? I'm sure, again, it's your parents and you do anything for them. So,
yeah, And I like that Holloway actually called for him to you know, wrap the belt, because it was like, it was a nice gesture, but it was also like a point on for the moment.
The belt has the proper name, and the two athletes that were in that match, they did honors to that, to the BMF belt. Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Also, I wanted to ask you, you know, in regards to wrestling styles and all that, one of the things that we see for the last 2 years in the lightweight division of the UFC is we had dominance of Khabib, and now we have, it seems, dominance of Islam Makhachev, and both are have incredible wrestling credentials, and obviously outside of that also glorious other fighting skills, but wrestling is something that put them on the map. It seems that especially on Khabib's side, nobody has found the answer to just get the guy off of him. Did you encounter, you know, any in your career, any people who competed from Dagestan encounter their style? Is there something different that they do? Did you encounter maybe what you saw on the television from them, you know, that there's something similar in that style?
What it boils down to is inside the United States, primarily we do a sport that is known as folk style wrestling. Folk style wrestling is different from freestyle and Greco-Roman. Folk style is what we'll do in our they'll have kids events that take place. They'll start training them, and then they'll actually have youth and kids type of tournaments. This is all folk style all the way through until basically you graduate college. So now you have this athlete that is 21, 22, and the only way to represent the United States country at that point in time is in the sport of freestyle or Greco-Roman wrestling. Those are your two international styles. That's what's competed at the World Championships, the World Cup, and at the Olympic Games. The rest of the world is doing freestyle and Greco-Roman. The United States, for that first 20, 21 years of your age, you're doing folk style. So when the United States only picks up maybe a couple medals at the Olympic Games, they think it's great. They would be a lot better off if they simply just change the system to where, let's start doing freestyle and Greco at these young ages. The rest of the world is doing it, and that's why the United States doesn't do as well. It's a pretty easy formula to fix. And when kids are young, they like doing, it's easy to get kids into doing gymnastics and all kinds of roles and things of that nature. They look at it as fun. And to get into throwing your opponent or something like that, again, they show how to throw and throw safely and stuff of that nature. Competition is a whole different animal at that point. So as I put it, the United States is a very civilized sport of amateur wrestling. It wasn't, I think I began the story before, but if I did, forgive me, my very first international experience ever, I'm part of a age group, US team, you know, between 16 and 18 years of age. I'm 17, and we go to the country of Turkey. And my first opponent is a 35-year-old military man. And I have a lot longer hair at that point in time. And when he does a collar tie-up, he actually does a collar tie-up, but then he just grabs a lot of my hair, and then he headbutts me, splitting my eyebrow open, and then to add insult to injury, he pulls a lot of my hair out of my head and just flings it on the ground. Back then, freestyle wrestling matches were 9 minutes long, three-minute periods. This happens at opening 15 seconds. I look at the referee like, this match should be over. My opponent should be disqualified for unsportsmanlike conduct, but We're not in Kansas City anymore, Toto. We're in his country. We're doing the sport of freestyle. You know, it's just a whole different ballgame. And so even in freestyle and Greco, you do not stop matches for blood. If you have a bloody nose, split lips, split eyebrow, you don't stop for blood. There's no stoppage. You wrestle with a handkerchief inside your singlet, so you reach in, you pull out, you wipe, they shove back in, and action just keeps going. There's no timeout. I have a bloody nose. It's just a whole different animal, and that's where the UFC. You got to realize I spent three different ownerships of the Ultimate Fighting Championships, and so with each one. There were new headaches, new hurdles that they had to go through. And when I would meet some of the different matchmakers, they'd be like, "Hey, Dan, how do you think we're doing?" I go, "Well, you're doing okay for right now." But I go, you have Americans, and you have some Japanese, and you've got some Brazilians, and you've got some Canadians. That's all you have. You got basically four different continents that are being represented. I go, where's the Bongos? Where's the Bulgarians? Where's the Russians? You would be surprised what is walking our planet right now. You got some teenager that is up on a mountainside right now that's got a club and he's guarding his flock of sheep. And he's got three wolves surrounding the sheep, ready to try to snag one of them to take it off and eat him. And if he loses any of his sheep, his dad's going to kick his butt in the process. So that kid's motivated. He's going to kill those three wolves with a club.
That was me basically when I saw the, I don't know if you've seen the Kazakh fighter, Shavkat Rakhmonov from Kazakhstan. I mean, the guy looks just like, you know, he actually fought. He looks like he actually fought wolves when he was a kid.
No, I mean, you've become so pacified. I kind of beat up America a lot there because most have never traveled to another country. They just don't get, they don't understand how you go and you turn on the light switch and the lights come on. That doesn't always happen in other countries, okay? The fact that you have electricity, you have water that you can go to your faucet and turn on, and it's drinkable. There's certain creature comforts that Americans have that they just don't get it. They don't understand. And it's like going, you don't understand how your freedoms are being taken away from you because you're comfortable still. I'm not here to beat up on Americans because I am American, but I wish they would sort of wake up and be a little bit more observant of their surroundings.
Yeah, we even talked prior to recording this episode about your background and the flag.
This is the flag being upside down is symbolic. And anyone that is in like that military type of mindset knows that an upside down flag represents distress. And I think that our country is in a great deal of distress because of, it's fighting amongst itself. It's fighting amongst itself. It's divided in a lot of different ways. But our media is not helping the cause. It's like the media is in on the action as well. They will, there's certain things that if you say it on somewhere social media, all of a sudden it's like, how did that just get banned? Yeah. There's supposed to be, there's a freedom of speech. And yet our country is starting to try to ban this. These are forms of communism. And any country that has ever had communism failed. And that's where it's like, and the people are not happy underneath communism. The thing is, anyone that enjoys having money and wealth, things of that nature, that's called capitalism. And usually it falls into the category of most Republicans believe in capitalism. They believe that if you go out and work, that you get compensated for your work so that now you can go buy food, shelter, you know, all the goods in your car. See, wonder if you can buy things, but it's the mentality is changing. I mean, if you're watching America, you have people that now one day they've been a man all their life. And today they wake up and go, oh, you know, I think I identify as being a woman now. And not only am I going to be a woman, but I wanted to jump into women's boxing. I would jump into women's weightlifting and women's swimming. You know, it's like going, you got all of these men that now want to be a transgender. And to me, it's like going, why don't you just have three types of sporting events? There's sporting events for men. There's sporting events for women. And then those that don't know what they are, let's have a sporting event for them. That would be a great, think of that. That would be so entertaining to watch.
But should the one that were men and now women, and one that were women and now men, compete against each other, or we should have two subcategories?
Yeah. That's the mass strange just times. It's like, I always tell people that if Dan Severn was present, there'd be no problem. If Don Fry was present, there'd be no problem, because Don Fry, I always tell people that I'm actually pretty tame compared to Don. Don would be like going, are you, you know, he'd be like, are you fucking nuts? You know? Yeah.
Since we are talking a little bit political and everything, last weekend I went to see a movie, Civil War. It is about the Civil War in America in the present time, because California and Texas want to get independence from the United States, Florida on its end as well. And I saw a lot of comments on the internet, because the movie is really great. And a lot of people spoke, this is not a movie, it's a documentary, we can expect this and that, and similar. Is that really a situation in USA, or we are far from that?
Well, again, I did not see the movie which you're talking about. I mean, when you talk about, like, remember the Alamo? I mean, when that was between Mexico and the United States. Is that what you're talking about right now?
No, it's a civil war inside the United States. Is
okay, the civil
in reality. It's Alex Garland's civil war. California and Texas wants independence. Washington doesn't give them independence. Civil war starts. That's the thing.
Well, again, I did not see that movie. To me, it's a state like Texas. I'll say that right now. I mean, I thought one of the best run states was probably Florida, because you had the governor there. He's a strong leader. This Governor DeSantis. A lot of it just boils down to what is your leadership, but. The biggest problem we have in the United States is accountability of our leadership. You know, because once they're in office, you know, they could do a lot of different things. And because of all the chaos, all the different chaos taking place, that, you know, transgender this, and you got shortages starting to take place. There's potential looming war over there. And it seems like our Congress and our Senate and the House, they're trying to, like, they're sending billions of dollars here, sending billions of dollars there. And, you know, the war is taking place, with Ukraine and that. There's so much bullshit that's taking place. It has people's attention in all these different directions. But that's when, as I always say, that you got to watch out for the magician in the room, because where is his hands at? His hands keep reaching back into your pocket and grabbing out your wallet. and taking out your money. Is he? Is that politician? Is he coughing up anything? No. And yet, all these politicians are, they have these lavish meals, they have these lavish gatherings. Are they paying for it? No. People's tax dollars. And that's where people have to get back and to more of the basics and to understand things. I actually think, well, a couple of things that they've taken out of our school system over the years was they took out prayer and they've taken out the Pledge of Allegiance. Those are two things that they've taken out. Was that on purpose? I don't know. I can't tell you. But see, I remember when I was still in school, especially at a young age, there was still prayer and there was the Pledge of Allegiance. Every morning, you stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'll bet you that most Americans can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. I actually, what? Can I go into a different story altogether?
Yeah.
Okay. But my other story was, I was down at teaching a seminar, and the gentleman ahead of time, he goes, Danny, goes, there's a lot of people that would like to do something special with you. They would like to get a certificate from you. That because I mean, even though they were in a seminar, I don't hand out certificates just because you are a participant in a seminar. I just don't do that. And he goes, he wants to do something special, wait for the seminar to where these people are going to be with you for a three-hour block. And I kept thinking, Dan Severn's standards are a lot higher than other people's. And it's nothing that I gloat about. It's just something that I hold myself to a different set of standards. I don't tell other people. And I started, and I'm driving, you know, realize I'm driving for about, I'll say about 30 hours. So I have plenty of time to make some notes as I'm going. I put together kind of a physical fitness test. There used to be, in the United States, there used to be what they call a presidential physical fitness awards. That it used to exist. If you were to ask anyone today, young people, they've never heard of it. Older people heard about it maybe 20-some years, maybe, yeah, at least two decades or so ago is the last you probably have heard it, to where you should be able to do so many basic number of push-ups, sit-ups, a little shuttle run, just something easy. I was putting together a Dan Severn version of this. And I don't think I was asked that much. I kept looking at my numbers. Okay, it might be a little bit too high. I had to keep lowering the numbers, I'm like going, why am I lowering the numbers? I go, these were all numbers I could do up until just a couple years back. And it wasn't because of me getting older. It was because of having a hip that was not really functioning all that well. It was because of having hands that were not functioning all that well. And I know that. Now, since having these surgeries, my goal is from that 1 year mark of having the hip and stuff like that, I want to be going back to be able to do my standards. And I'll be doing that at 66 years plus. And knowing that most people half my age or more will fail. Is that right? No. Am I exceptional? No. I was part of what I was learning through athletics in the first place. I did just fine in school, but they're not even teaching proper types of things in school anymore. It's like math. They teach math that you don't use.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's true. I mean, if you were to, what I call practical math, you might want to buy a house one day. House is going to cost you this much. if you put this much on down that to it, your interest rate of this, when you start saying, if you put it to something that actually applies to something, you want to buy a house one day, you want to buy a car one day. And one of the biggest, again, this could get this whole episode banned here right now. One of the biggest fallacies is when you're in high school, you have usually one or two counselors in your school that says, you guys have to go to college. Everyone's got to go to college. No, that's so wrong. Because if I go back to the same analogy I just used, in order for you to buy a car, you have to qualify for a loan, because most people don't have enough money to go to college. If you go to buy a car or buy a house, you have to go and qualify for a loan. And yet when you go to college, they will give you all kinds of college tuition loans for free.
Oh, it's not free.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. No. At the time,
I know what you said.
Nobody reads that fine print.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, and now these college loans will hang over your head for the next 20, 30 or more years, maybe for the rest of your life, because, again, I'm beat up on my fellow Americans, because most Americans are not good at saving money. They're not good at investing money. They're more or less interested in living for today. As my brother would say, chicken today, feathers tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we have similar situation here, because what you're explaining is basically hyperproduction of academics, which won't have a place because of the hyperproduction. And we are losing people fit for roles of ordinary jobs, or even tailors and similar stuff is dying out. So
yeah,
we'll be fucked up pretty soon. So
it is. Well, again, I always, I would tell people about high school graduation, if you don't know what you want to be in life, either, again, because I'll say, go into the military for 4 years, because what they have in the United States is known as the GI Bill. If you go into the military for 4 years, hopefully there'll be 4 years that there's no war, stuff like that take place. So, but the military will help you get squared away in life. It will be, because you're being yelled at all times to make your bed, clean up your room. I mean, the same thing that your mother said, except you got a drill sergeant that's screaming at you now. And if you don't do things, you'll be doing push-ups, you'll be at KP doing it, you'll have all the worst jobs in the world. But I think a lot of Americans need that, because they're not getting it through their parenting. Not just you have to be a mean parent, but you have to hold your child accountable for their actions. That's all it boils down to. When everything is like, Johnny, you get a timeout. What does that mean? He gets to go into his room where he takes his cell phone, where he's got his laptop to work. He doesn't mind having a timeout, because he's still in there playing, and go, oh, my mom sent me to my room, and here I am. I mean, there's no real punishment there. I don't say you have to beat your kid, but there has to be a follow through for things. So
let me ask you this, because obviously we talked about politics, and obviously the whoever our leaders are, and however good or bad they're not responsible for all our problems or fortunes. I never actually got the chance, because we had obviously many Americans on the show, but since we were talking about other stuff, I never got the chance to ask. And you lived for 65 years, as you said. Who was the greatest president that you experienced that was in the office while in your lifetime of the United States that you were like?
A couple of them come by. Reagan was a good president. Things were good underneath Reagan. But then, honestly, the more recent time, Trump by far, I don't like all of his antics, but he made America first. He made Americans first. We were independent of all other countries, which we should be. He brought back manufacturing. It might be like, he was saying that because a lot of people were going to have these produced in Asian type countries because the workforce was cheaper, labor force, stuff like that. So a lot of these American companies, they're building cars and they're building all this other stuff in other countries, and they have it shipped back. And Trump basically said, well, that's fine if you want to do that, but if you want to bring that car back into the country, this is the tariff you're going to pay because you took away an American job. So what I like about his policy is the fact that he did put America first. He put Americans, first, and everything they did. There were no wars that took place because he's like going, hey, we're not funding you for this. We're not funding you guys for that. Why are we giving you guys money in the first place, and yet you guys keep bad-mouthing us, stuff like that? Well, goodbye. See you later. He went to the United Nations. He made demands to them. Not demands, but he talked straight to them. He goes, this is ludicrous. Why should we belong to this, or why should we belong to that? If you guys are going to keep doing these stupid things, we're going to leave the stupid brigade. So again, they never had someone talk to them the same way that Trump was talking to them. The man he's not a politician. He's a businessman. A lot of people don't like him because of the way he talks. Okay, that's what you call a businessman. This businessman did not take his salary. The salary for being president is $300,000 a year, is what the president gets paid. And by law, he has to take $1. So he turned the salary down. He gets paid $1. So what that means is Trump, while being president, running the United States, is also running his companies, because if he doesn't make money for his companies, he's out of business. So he was doing two jobs at the same time. Very well. He was doing things. Sometimes people don't like the way he speaks to other people, but it's kind of like he's at least, you know where you stand with him. He's one of those people that, because he's still alive and he's still around, I would actually like to shake that man's hand to simply say that, hey, you did a good job. So there were occasions where, I'll call it, he did the end zone dance. And what that means, that's kind of a playoff of the game of football, American football, where when you score your touchdown, you start holding the ball up and you start doing these little dances in your face and stuff like this, where it's like there's sometimes he does the end zone dance a little too long. But, the sad part he makes certain points where all the people, all these politicians were his friends before he got into politics. And then when he finally got into politics, now they're turning on him and thinking he's the same man he was before. You guys just don't like him because he's bucking the system. And there's two things that need to happen inside the United States, and that is term limits, meaning that you only get to serve twice. So they'll be like, you can serve for 4 years. I'm not talking about the president. I'm just for Congress, for our Senate, our House, all of them. Two term limits tops, 4 years and 4 years, because you cannot steal enough money in 8 years to live the rest of your life without harm. And then you have to go back and live amongst the real people. And if you were a turd and now you have to live amongst the real people, oh, your neighbors will let you know what a turd you were. I get term limits would be one factor, but then fact checking. We used to have fact checking to where the moment that someone would say something, you were held liable for what you said. If you were like a newspaper magazine and you printed something wrong, you better print a forgive me. You had to put something back out there to where that this was wrong statement, something like that. But there is no fact checking anymore. Obama is one who opened up that Pandora's box, to where our news could say anything they want.
Well, that's
wrong.
Yeah. Well, he spoke nicely. That's a pretty polite. Yeah, great.
Intelligent man. Intelligent man. A lot of people would say they think that I'd be racist because I say this, but I go, oh, you're attacking the only black president ever. I go, no, actually, I voted for him. But I go, but I had, what was my choice? And that's what I really want people to understand. And I go, I would actually like to go up to one of these presidential debates just to walk up to the microphone and go, which one of you two terms do I have to vote for? I don't like either one of you, but which one of you are going to stink up the place the least? And that's who I'm going to vote for. That's how I feel about it. There's no real true policy. I get Trump was, he'll probably go down as the best president ever in the terms that during his 4 years that he was there, look at what he did for America and Americans.
Yeah,
and that is what I simply say. Drop the mic. That's facts. That's just strictly facts. And then look at all the other turns and look what they did.
Yeah, I was, to be honest, let's say, bitter during Trump's first run, but I'm still a little bit bitter because he pushed around that prime minister at the time. But now looking back at moves he done on geopolitical scene and national scene in United States, it actually makes a lot of sense and everything. So I think he will be back for the second term.
At least the world wasn't burning as it currently is burning all around the place. And I think he actually had a lot to do with it, you know, the world being at peace.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, there's only a couple candidates so far that are vying for this. They're looking at Biden, and they're looking at Trump. Now again, let's talk a couple things about that. The fact was, Trump had to endure a cognitive test. That's a fact. When he was in office, people challenged it, and he took it, and he passed it with flying colors. There's a lot of people, an awful lot of people that are questioning Biden's mental capabilities.
I mean, we have eyes.
And why isn't he being held to the same standards that Trump was being held to? You guys challenged him? Why were there not any tests?
Yeah, but I think that this whole campaign for the next president is turning into charade. Everything they are doing to Trump with all those trials and civil.
Yeah. Well, I just know bottom line that when it comes to the American political system, there's a lot of changes that need to be made. And again, term limits too, and then you got to get out because, as I said before, you can always steal only so much money, but you can't steal enough to last the rest of your life. And then you have to go back and you have to live amongst your people. Oh, that'll be really interesting when you have to go live amongst them. You don't get to live in this little gated community over here. No, no, no. You have to live amongst the people once again.
Yeah. But neighbors from hell, part two.
Yeah. Well, look what happened. I mean, we'll go into something different, but the last thing I'm saying is that look at all the various illegal aliens that are coming into our country. And then what's happening is that they're being shipped by airplanes or whatever to different states, different cities inside of states. But it seems like they're only being shipped to states that are not conforming to the agenda. They're not shipping them to California. They're shipping it to states like Florida. What is a Democratic state? What is a Republican state? And why are they shipping there? I go, why don't they bring them all right back to wherever all these political leaders live? Martha's Vineyard. Why don't they ship them all to Martha's Vineyard? You got all these people that are voting for them. You should, Nancy Pelosi and all these other people should welcome. Why do they have big fences around their property? I wonder. And yet they don't want to have a fence in between borders.
Wow.
Huh. Talk about two-faced. Huh. I don't know. Just doesn't make sense here in Dan Severn's world.
But let's get a little bit back to MMA and pro wrestling. Have you maybe...
You got me in a fighting spirit or now.
Go on, Jill. Have you maybe encountered during your long career and in your recent years, maybe some of the prominent fighters or aspiring fighters coming to you and asking, did you see my fight? Do you have maybe some advice? What should I do? Am I good? Have it maybe happened to you? Because coming from the Beast, it probably would mean a lot to a fighter.
Well, no, there are some fighters I see that I know that. Justin Gaethje. Okay, that was just a 300. I have relayed information out to Justin Gaethje. I actually spoke to him before because we had him on the podcaster before. Again, great fighter. I go, Justin, you have a very good amateur wrestling pedigree.
Division one.
Yes. And I said, why are you not using any of this amateur wrestling? Danny goes, I like to stand there and bang with my opponents. And usually if you're standing there banging, you hopefully you're landing more on them than what they are landing on you, but you don't ever get out of it scot-free. For every, you might get, maybe 8 or 10 good ones in on them, and they might get only 2 or 3 in on you, but you're still taking some punishment. We already talked about this more that boxing for the longest time has been one of the biggest dementia, Alzheimer's, CTE type of contributors. Yeah. That you've got the UFC is that you're probably a close second to it. And now with slap boxing, that'll be that one creeping to it really quickly right there. Taking head trauma, you want to take as little head trauma as possible. There's I look at the stupidity inside the United States, and these people aren't even in these doing any of these kind of MMA matches or slap fighting. I'm thinking, what's your excuse?
That wasn't from accumulated damage. That was something else.
No, but I mean, it's just like I don't know if you guys could actually see if I swing this around because it's here got that American flag. I'm not gonna show
that's mine.
I was going to simply swing around because I'm here down in Coldwater, Michigan. And just getting back from Arizona, and I'm in the process of trying to put together, a wrestling clinic for next weekend. I actually have a weekend off. I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. So like, going, I'll make myself busy. And it's like I'm looking at hosting an amateur wrestling clinic, but I'm also doing well again. Since I'm already going to dedicate my day. An amateur clinic is only go for an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. I go, okay, I'll do an amateur scene one earlier in the morning because wrestlers are used to getting up earlier. Then I'll do something that's more geared towards MMA and submission grappling. And then I'll do one that's geared towards professional wrestling. So I'll just take one day, 2 hours to this, 2 hours to that, and 2 hours for wrestling. So I'll make myself, I'll be doing all the posts here probably later today and just get that information going out towards I don't know what to do on my non-busy days. I like to stay busy, but even, we talked about the scratch.
Yeah.
I have a person that's talking to me, just ask me all kinds of questions. I go, walk and talk. I go, I don't want somebody to sit here, just walk and talk with me. And I talk about the orchard. So as we're in the orchard, he just thought it was unique because he's got his microphone and stuff like that. And I'm just clipping away. And then he had the same hour that it took him to do the interview, I ended up getting 2 trees done. So it's like, if I just sit in my office like this, I don't get anything else done. I truly do like what I do. There's still a farmer. I was a farmer's son type of background. I grew up on a farm, stuff like that. I don't own a farm now. I just have, if I want to put in a little garden or if I want to, but I have the fruit trees, and the fruit trees have to be taken care of each year. It's just like the property here, there's light bulbs that need to be changed that are burnt out. They need to be painted, spruced up, because They can't have it looking, you know, haggard and things of that nature. So there's still some stuff that I will do to tidy up and make the place look a little bit more presentable, because that's an extension of Dan Severn.
Then perhaps a final one for me. I want to ask you this, because we touched upon it a little bit on our last podcast, where you spoke about, for example, Jeff Jarrett and the time they told you to return the belt and you regretted telling them, them to. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, because obviously you spent some time in that 90s locker room, WWE, and a lot of big egos there. Did you ever actually had to ego check someone? You know, did ever any of those guys in professional wrestling try to get wise with you?
I had one match. I can't think of the gentleman's name, where you basically, the term for professional wrestling, it's a work. But if they start to do a shoot inside of a work, that's not cool. So I had a match in California, I think it this way back when, and the gentleman actually tried to do a shoot in on me, and literally I did what I call the power bomb from hell. He shot in on my leg, and I simply just grabbed him around the waist, and then literally as I brought him up, I was bringing him up the air. I released him, and I had a hands around his waist, and I released him. He was still going up, and I grabbed him by the hips, and then I brought him down, and I proved Newton's law of gravity, whatever goes up must come down very, very hard. And when he hit, that wasn't supposed to be the end of the match, but that was the end of the match. Because it knocked the wind right out of him. And as he lay there, he's going, you know, and I just put my foot on his chest. I go, stay there for the pinfall. And they can remember, he just got down at 1, 2, 3, well done. That wasn't supposed to be the match, but that was the match.
Yeah, but tapping into your pro wrestling days, which was your favorite opponent from back then, either from WWE and WA? Anyway,
I didn't wrestle anyone enough time. I really wish I had been born during the territory type days.
Oh yeah,
because in those territory type days. There was none of this internet, no cell phones. So literally, you could be in the Eastern Territory, a Midwestern Territory, a Western Territory, or you could be a Northern Territory or a Southern Territory. So you might be there for a couple years, and then there'll be that match that comes up. It'll be like, and a loser leaves town match, and now I lose. And now that, and all the people are like, yeah, boo, yada, your dad's ever okay, boo, boo. So now I go to one of the other territories, and I'm there for the next 2 or 3 years until the change of agenda. I really wish I had been involved with it at that point, because there you wrestled the same guy over and over again, but it wasn't televised. It's not on the internet. You just went from one city to another city to another city. And people just didn't travel like that, like they're willing to travel or to see through the internet. Because you could be in one part of the country, and but they're going to live stream it, you know, through their devices. So that has changed. I really wish I would have been there in that, because it would have been great to work with the same guy over and over again, knowing that you don't even think about the match. It'd be like going, okay, you and I, we have to wrestle here again tonight. Who gets the win? Okay. And all you got to do is simply find out who gets the win. And you want a dirty finish, because like in a dirty finish, it keeps the baby face looking strong or something like that, where it looks like it cheated. But there's all kinds of ways of getting those finishes. But I wish I had been alive at that time era, because that would have been the time era that I would have best fit in.
Yeah. And is there a wrestler from that time that you would wish that you wrestled with the most?
Of course. Again, who is the longest reigning champion from the NWA, National Wrestling Alliance? Luthes.
Oh, Luthes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Nice.
So again, only because he had a stranglehold on the NWA belt. He held that belt longer than any other person. Be something like him, but then also someone like a Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, yes.
He sold out more Madison Square Garden shows than any other wrestler in his time era. Again, only because that's where these are just people that that I learned about, I admired, and that, so.
Yeah, you versus Lutez would be something back in the day.
Well, again, but don't they, when you watch professional wrestling now, how much wrestling do you actually really witness? You don't really witness wrestling. You witness punch, kick, chop, punch, kick, chop. You shoot them in a rope, shoot them in the turnbuckles. There's so much flippity doing that's taking place. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the moves that the dude, absolutely incredible. High risk maneuvers means you're going to get hurt sooner or later along the way, or much quicker. The marquee says professional wrestling. Give me some wrestling. I don't see any wrestling anymore. And wrestling means you actually take the opponent up and you put him on the ground. Who's doing any switches, any grabby rolls, any far side rolls? They're getting up to their feet, they're breaking the hold into where they're doing reversals of things that they should. They're not. Because, well, first off, they're not even educated in those fields. Now, an amateur wrestler, they should go out there. And that's where, when I finally go to an area and I meet someone for the first time, it's kind of going, what is your athletic background? I said, did you happen to do any amateur wrestling? And when they said they did, I go, great, we could do something different than the normal tie-up. We could do something different for some actual moves. So the marquee says, professional wrestling, give them at least a little bit of wrestling, not punch, kick, chop, and whip them off, clothesline. I mean, there's just a certain standard type thing that I'll put in there, but it's only after I've done some amateur wrestling with them in the beginning, knowing that lots of people aren't going to understand it. Now I got to get back to some a little bit more entertaining things that they've been so used to see it.
Yeah, but there's the reason behind it, the evolution of the pro wrestling itself and everything going on. But it would be refreshing to see something original in pro wrestling, definitely. But I have a question that I must ask, and probably every UFC fan would ask you, what would be your Mount Rushmore of mixed martial arts?
Oh, I wouldn't even begin to address that one right now. There's been so many great champions that are deserving of it.
Totally understand.
We just go on to the next question on that one. I can't really be as blunt on that one right now because that's something that there are some people that are very, very deserving it for different reasons.
But you would have to include Don there because...
Bart Worshmore, I don't know if they got enough rock there to get that big bushy mustache that he has. Okay?
Would they have two mustaches on that mountain?
Yeah, I always tell people that Don Fry, because I always say, you know, you guys, I go, so how is it that you guys know each other? Both of you guys have mustaches, something like that. I go, mine is usually trimmed and proper. I go, Don is very unruly, you know. I go, it's like, you don't know. I said, he might have a ham sandwich stuck up in there somewhere. You know, we never know what he's smuggling inside that mustache.
Funny. Yeah. It's such an iconic image for both of you guys. I want to ask you, this is obviously you and him are doing your Toxic Masculinity podcast, but recently you started obviously your Unleashed podcast as well.
Very careful.
Yeah. One wasn't enough for you, obviously, podcast to get all the great thoughts out. Do you enjoy doing both podcasts? You know, do you have other, you know, kind of criteria for this one? Is with Don just shooting random shit, you know, you two guys?
Well, a lot of people are just simply entertained by the toxic masculinity between Don and myself. Because we've got good chemistry. I mean, I'm usually the whoopee boy between the two of us, but that's all right. I mean, I don't mind. Like, I tend to set myself up and Don knocks me down every time. That's okay. I can handle that. But it's like, you know, there's a, I mean, we have a long history in the sense that he was one of my wrestlers when I was coaching at Arizona State University. And he lived with a couple of my younger brothers. So I know Don much like a younger brother in that same sense. When he saw that I was in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, he's like, we kind of grew apart for that time period because I left Arizona. I took a job from Arizona State to Michigan State. So it took me to a different direction. And I, you know, kind of lost track of him for a little bit. So he reached out to me and he's like, you know, Severin, can you say, could you help get me in? Do you see that? And that's, I always tell people that. The only credit I will ever say is that I helped Don Fry get his foot in the door. Don Fry kicked that door wide open on his older billet. So, and he was at the time probably the most complete fighter because he had a stand-up background. He had a boxing background, and he had his judo background, and he had amateur wrestling. So he had three different things kind of going for himself. So he was like the most complete athlete at the time. Like I said, with each new year that sport comes around, the bar was continued to be raised as it is right now. No one has really, I should say a couple people have used the cage wall because the way the rules are read, you can use that cage wall. You can actually step off it. And you have some people right now that they'll actually step off that cage wall and then throw a head kick at you or something like that. So you start to see some more type of athleticism being incorporated by the utilization of the cage itself. Back when it was no holds barred, I remember I've actually submitted people at times. You could actually grab the cage. I'd have my opponent down on mat, and their head, their side of their face was against the cage wall. And then I would grab the cage and put my top of my head right against the side of their face, and I just started to squish, you know, just pull and squish. I don't know if you ever had, as a kid, a Play-Doh squishing machine where you take the Play-Doh and you squeeze it to go. It makes all that these crazy lines. Well, he ended up screaming out and tapping, and literally the referee was like dumbfounded. He said he just tapped out because of what I just did there. But when he stood up and he saw the side of his face, he had chain link impressions on the side of his face. So yeah.
Oh, and the template for the boots.
To me, it's like, how do you train a technique like that? Like, hey, yeah, why don't you come over here, Peter, and lay it down. Let's try. No, you got it. Those are just one of those things. It's like, I was there. I like, why not? Let's give it a try. Let's see what happens.
You know, yeah. And do you think that in some way, guys like you, like Tom Fry, like Gracie, that you actually paid the way for all those guys today to make a living from mixed martial arts?
What was the question, though? What?
Do you think that guys like you, like Don Fry, like Grace, paved the way for today's?
I'll say that there was an athletic portion to that, but then the demanding portion was the UFC early on came underneath a great deal of scrutiny. You had different politicians and legislators that came after the sport, trying to do away with it altogether and see how barbaric, how primitive. It was like Gladiator. It was, you know, two men enter, one man leaves. It was, so barbaric. You know, they're waiting to see. Where is Caesar? Caesar's like, going, shall he live or shall he die? You know, this kind of stuff. It was so extreme in the beginning. But, you know, to me, I always looked upon this. This was an athletic type of event. People with skill sets. Now, again, you could do some pretty barbaric things to people. It's like people were blown away when they saw my very first match ever when I did a belly to back suplex. That's a professional wrestling move that you don't normally see inside of a cage. But I knew what I was doing, and it just presented itself. The cool part was that it presented itself back to back. I've only ever been able to do that move. Only had, I think, just very, very, very few matches, maybe like three matches or less, that I've ever been able to pull off that belly to back suplex, because the person's got to be, you know, in the right position in order for that to happen. But I know I kind of went off script a little bit there. I'll back up before we run out of time again. Well, see, again, just to kind of keep some flow here, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that. Like when we end here, I'm actually going to be speaking to one of the owners of the Insane Clown Posse, and to me, like Dan Sever might be doing something with the Insane Clown Posse here in the next couple weekends. So that'll be an interesting phone call that'll be taking place. But then there's something that I might be doing with the NWA as well, because a couple people have passed on some of my interviews where I've said that I'm still the NWA champion. I have never.
You said that here. You said that here, by the way.
Yeah, I know, but I've also said that on other interviews.
Yeah,
I believe.
Well, because I'm still trying to spread the word. To state the fact that I was stripped of the belt, and I really wish, again, that was the thing that I said before, that I really wish I would have just kept the belt at that point. That it didn't simply to tell them, okay, you said whatever man or woman or whatever it is to see if they could take it from me. I said, you know, but I just gave it back up. But I'm looking at that. Someone has caught wind of this, and there's an NWA opportunity that is down on the horizon. So as Dan Severn gets older or something like that, I always tell people that I have retired from mixed martial arts. So I've retired from that, but I haven't retired from amateur wrestling. I haven't retired from submission grappling. I haven't retired from professional wrestling. So you might still see this silver hair fox running around there inside of various rings or being on mats, because I like what I do still. And I don't think that, and I still think that I could be very competitive. But the problem is, how much younger will I have to go to get competition? Can I just go out there and just raid at the 65 to 70 year old category, or do I have to back up to, you know, 50 year old category to 45 year old category? Yeah, it's like you got to look at. There's not, as you one gets older, the pickets get a little bit thinner.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Just be careful if you return.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll be careful. Trust me. The goal. I told you guys before, but the goal is still live to be 125. That's the goal.
Yep. And before we wrap up, would you maybe share your version of presidential fitness test? What was there?
Say again, my version of presidential what?
Fitness test that you spoke about.
Oh.
And your version that you made.
Well, I mean, the president, well, I can't, it'd be tough for me to go into all the details, but I just think that most Americans and most people think they have to go to a gym in order to exercise. What did this floor cost you? Nothing. You still have the same type of energy and drive, goals and ambition, whether you drive to a gym to go work out, and then you have to worry about, is my hair right? Is my makeup right? What is my shirt and stuff like that look like? You know, get it, whether you be a female or male. To me, I look at that. Just work out at home. You can still do push-ups. You can still do sit-ups. You can still do squats. You can still do burpees, jumping jacks. There's an endless list of exercises. What I'm actually working on right now is because, you know, I split my time between Coldwater, Michigan, where I'm at right now, and basically an hour and a half away in Holland, Michigan. I have a very unique waterfront property that I acquired just, this will be summer number four, spending on the island. It's a national island. I mean, that's cool. Yeah, I had to take a boat. I've never owned a boat before, so I actually have to take a boat to go out to it. See it from the shore. It's not like some tropical paradise. I would never want to own an island out in, say, the ocean, because if I go swimming out in the ocean, there's stuff that's out in that ocean that will kill you, eat you, you know, shark stays in that nature. This is what's known as freshwater. It's a freshwater lake. There's fish, you know, inside there, but there's nothing that's going to hurt you or kill you. So it's really cool that I like spending time out there, and it's fixing up the property. So I'm actually looking forward to it. I actually might be heading over there by tomorrow is what I'm looking to do. And I have a lot of things I still try to do here about the orchard, things of that, trimming up things. But then I might head over there tomorrow and spend 2 days just working on the property there because it needs a lot of TLC as well. Tender loving caring.
Before we wrap up, you know, our tradition, we say a quote in our language and translate it to English. And I have picked a quote for this episode and for Montenegrin, and it goes like this. Zamisli da si sova i dužnost je da žmuriš i da se bojiš svjetlost, a ti se čvrsto zarekneš i hipnotišeš sunce. And it comes from our writer, poet, Mika Antić. And on English it would be, imagine that you are an owl. And your duty is to squint and to be afraid of light. But you firmly swear and go on to hypnotize the sun. It's all about the power of will, isn't it?
Everyone's got to live their own life. And it's a, I believe it, you should have dreams. You should have goals. And you have to be able to decipher between, you know, what is reality. And then there's certain things that I actually have this for myself. That is, it's the question mark. I said earlier, my goal is to live to be 125. That's not the norm. Most of us are gone somewhere. I mean, it's sad when I see my high school. I get an annual newsletter, and it's becoming more and more of the obituary column. Is all what it is, because more and more people are dying, and that means they're all dying around that 65. Years of age, because they're the same age as what I am. And it's like that kind of, that starts to sad me, because I'm thinking, you guys did not live a fraction of the life that I have lived, or to be able to travel. I mean, I like the fact that I've traveled to every state in the United States. I've been to practically every country that has ever had a wrestling program. I've been to at one point in time to not just the sightseeing, but to actually be there and be in competition at things, to see a lot of cool things. And that's not going to cease for me. I'm still like a child in a lot of ways, where I like to see and do, but I also have not only my own children, but now I have 5 grandchildren. And my grandchildren, they're at the age where, look, I have to go into one more story here for you. But my daughter was in a pinch. This was just a few days ago. She was in a real big pinch, and that she needed a babysitter just for an hour and a half, and no one else could do it. And she goes, "Dad." So I was like the last straw. She goes, "Dad." She goes, "I know how busy you are. Do you think you can babysit, you know, your grandson here for the next hour and a half?" I go, "Sure." And she comes back later, and when my grandson left, she goes, "He will." She called me like about an hour or so later. She goes, "He will not be quiet. She keeps asking about you." He goes, "He wants to go over and go. He wants to go, grandpa, wrestle, you know, because I had him over there, and he was having the time of his life because he was out in my training facility, and I had him going. He had a tablet, okay? And I think how they had several pills about these tablets, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I was able to get the tablet out of his hand, and I started basically I do like body slams with him. I have a crash pad. I just started doing body slams on the crash pad. And then I had him start doing all these like a little agility drills. I blew up a balloon, so he was punching the balloon up in the air. And I go, not just right hand, you got to put that left hand up in there. So literally, I was doing coordination drills with him. He did not know it, but I was actually exercising him, and I was trying to make him a better person. I thought we'd just testing him with words, different colors and numbers and stuff of that nature, because I'm educating him, but I'm doing it in a very interactive and a very playful way. To where it's like, you know,
I'll have them over here later today. They'll be helping to pick up all the limbs that Grandpa has down in the orchard. But I'll make it into a game. How many people, how many limbs can you carry? How many trips can you make? So I'll make it a fun activity, and then they'll get a reward. Afterwards, it'll be some type of a treat that Grandpa will go and get for them. So it's kind of like, yeah, and that's what my daughter said. She goes, you are not going to be a normal Grandpa at all now, are you? I go, was I normal with you guys? Nope. I don't plan on being normal with my grandkids either. I go. I think it's time for them to also start learning real average wrestling, not just roughhousing with Grandpa. Real wrestling too.
What can I say except have fun?
Yeah. Exactly. Life. You get to live it once, or do you?
Yeah. Then thanks for joining us for second time. I hope the sequel lived up to the original for our fans and. Thank you.
No, again, it's been a real pleasure. One of these days, we'll actually meet face-to-face.
I hope so. I hope.
All right. Well, take care, and thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
We stay genuine, uncensored, and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Ikuzo!